And welcome back to Inside the Cave on this Tuesday morning. And every Tuesday morning at 7:25, we welcome Tom Crawford into the broadcast from Fox 47's Press Pass. And Tom, just looking at last week's game at Michigan, I think we both agreed it was kind of a ho-hum game for Michigan.
You think? I was dozing in front of my computer. I had to go back for cookie runs to get a sugar rush to keep alert in that second half. But, you know, I mean, and we knew this going in, it was going to be like this. I thought there was the proficiency of J.J. McCarthy, though, that kept us awake. I mean, we are seeing a phenomenal quarterback evolve and before our eyes. And this is third-year competition, second year as starter. And I am super excited, J.J., going against tougher competition, and that's going to happen soon enough.
Yeah, well, of course, this week they have a night game at Michigan Stadium as they take on the Bowling Green Falcons. And should be kind of a fun game because under the lights, and I guess they're going to have a big light show at the stadium.
Yeah, they're going to start to showcase some of that, you know, $41 million worth of technology, right, that we heard about all summer. I mean, because I think Michigan Stadium and University of Michigan positioning themselves to make Michigan Stadium an outdoor concert venue down the road, and that's the kind of stuff you need to attract people to go to concerts to see great artists. And so that should be interesting. It's going to be a, you know, supposedly a dry night and a winnable game, would you say, over Bowling Green. Bowling Green beat Eastern Illinois, an FCS team, handily, but they're stepping up in competition against Michigan.
Absolutely. And talking about the Michigan defense, you know, totally outmanning this team this last week, and I'm sure they're going to do the same thing against Bowling Green. You know, can the Wolverines get any better, both on offense and defense?
Well, they can get better on offense, and, you know, in the post game, in fact, I asked, you know, we had Blake Corum in there, and he was kind of downtrodden, and, you know, Blake Corum is just so high demand of himself. He said, I got to go back to the drawing board. I thought that was overstating it a little bit, but I asked Mike Hart in the post game, and he was, you know, one of the interim head coaches along with Jay Harbaugh, so he was at the podium this week about Blake, and he thinks Blake is maybe thinking too much. He's 100% healthy, and he's thinking too much what he's doing out there, and I think that shows. I think you're going to see improved versions of Blake Corum. And that's, you know, I think that starts Saturday night and then goes beyond there.
Well, I know Blake thinks that if he doesn't get over 100 yards rushing during a game, he's kind of a failure. But really, he had some pretty good runs. And, you know, he had a few touches that went for some sizable yardage. But, you know, 80 yards still isn't that bad.
No, it's not. And you know, it's not, we're not, you know, it's not getting the chunk plays. And then Jim Harbaugh yesterday in his presser as a non-participatory coach in the game for the second straight week, and we got one more of those going on, we're talking about the inefficiency, you know, there's more inefficiency than efficiency in the Michigan running game. I mean, he admitted that. He was pretty much transparent. They're not getting the bigger plays, the 10-plus yard plays, and I think that's going to be a point of emphasis on this Michigan running attack. Because, my God, the level of competition is going to go up. But, you know, when I look at that schedule, though, and you know me, I always complain about the schedule. You know, you got Nebraska after, not to get ahead of ourselves, but we got Rutgers for homecoming, which will be a step up in competition. It's finally Big Ten play. And then you got Rutgers and Minnesota on the road. At least they're formidable Big Ten. They're Power 5 teams, right? So I think Michigan's both offense and defense will get a little bit more challenged, if you will, at that time, and we'll get a better evaluation of where this team stands.
Tom, do you expect, I mean, let's face it, we know what Michigan's air game can do. Do you expect, even though we figure Bowling Green to load the box, that Michigan just might force the issue on the ground this week, just to see what they can do and maybe get a little more work?
Yes, pick your poison, John. And most teams historically, decades, it's stopped the Michigan run. I mean, I don't care. I mean, even back in the Rich Rod era, I mean, it was like you got to stop Michigan's running because fundamentally that program is going to want to run the football from back in the 60s, right? So that's going to be their core competency. And this Michigan team last year would have just demanded that we're going to run the football, you know, because Jim Harbaugh, you know, and it's been just focusing on physicality of his football team. But you know what? Opted out. Now all of a sudden they're throwing the ball, and so JJ's had two great throwing days. The running game has struggled a little bit, but I think there's going to be more demands on that offensive line to carve some holes, and then get Donovan Edwards involved. I mean, Donovan Edwards, and Mike Hart talked about this, had 12 touches. I think he had maybe 5 runs and 7 catches, or maybe the other way around. But you got to get this guy involved. I mean, I don't, you know, that's a real head scratcher. Donovan Edwards, he's healthy, and that's where I'm curious to know what Michigan's going to show offensively to these, putting on film for future teams to look at, or are they holding it all back and then they play their cards when they play tougher opponents?
Do you have a, I mean, you usually give us a score each week. Do you have something in the back of your mind for a rushing total that you would like to see the Wolverines hit in this game against Bowling Green?
Yeah, I mean, I think 200 yards would be a, you know, if you get 200 yards rushing the football, that's pretty good. I mean, you get a 150, you're doing pretty good against a regular team. But against Bowling Green, you should get 200. I mean, it's a MAC. I'm not diminishing the MAC, but I mean, this is a higher level. This is one. This is, guys, this is the most talented / deep Michigan team I can ever recall in my lifetime. And they've got some hurt guys that are working their way back that would probably be playing by now anyway against tougher competition. So my expectations, 200 on the ground minimum for Michigan, and then then the aerial game, probably 3. They should get 500 total yards against Bowling Green. There's absolutely no excuse not to get 500 against BG.
Well, for the first time in many weeks, it's not Michigan making the headlines. It's the headlines being made at Michigan State University, namely Mel Tucker. And that situation out there just makes you sick. And what's going on up there in Lansing, Tom?
Oh, where do I start? That this is awkward. This is, I mean, just the whole storyline is awkward even to talk about, especially with young people around. You know what I mean? It's just, and this is a head football coach at Michigan State, and it's Title IX. It's this October 5th and 6th Title IX hearing that is going to indicate if Michigan State is going to be on the hook to have to pay Mel Tucker that $77 million he still has owed if they want to get rid of him, or if he's culpable from a behavior standpoint, and if he's, you know, if he's going to be, you know, in a sexual harassment suit, is he going to be found, you know, culpable of that? I don't know. It's just another issue at Michigan State. They seemingly come on, and they were on the NBC Nightly News again last night, okay? And for some, you know, obviously a horrific reason with the shooting last winter, but, I mean, it's always, you know, they have no control over, but there's been situations with assaults during the Mark D'Antonio era, and then we had the Tunnelgate last year. That was on the national news, you know, and everybody's pointing the finger at Michigan on that one for some reason. They're trying to flip that script. So, yeah, it's not a good day for Michigan State. I think Mel Tucker will never coach a game at Michigan State again, which I think is a wise. I mean, how could he? Where's his credibility now? Behavior credibility? How do you recruit a young man when you have that kind of admittance of what he was doing, of infidelity and all that stuff? I mean, when it's that blatant? Yeah, not a good day for Michigan State. But the thing is going to be dragging on, guys, because he comes back via his lawyers. I'm talking about Mel Tucker, and that, you know, that it was, you know, pointing the finger at her, and then You know, it's just going to be a battle. I mean, this $77 million, still on the hook, monetary obligation Michigan State has to Mel Tucker for overreacting. You remember, 3 weeks after the Michigan-Michigan State game 2021, what does Michigan State do? They extend that contract because he beat Michigan, right?
Yep. They
gave him an unheard-of contract. You know, I don't know what he's in the top five, the highest-paid coaches. I mean, it's unbelievable their overreaction, and now they're paying the price for it.
So Tom, you think there's any chance that on Saturday, like maybe say in Howell or Brighton, that the two of them might get together to watch the games?
No. I'm going to tell you something, though, about this game. This game on 5 o'clock, viewed on Peacock. So if you're going to watch Michigan State watching and you don't have a ticket, you're going to have to do that streaming stuff that Pat and I roll our eyes about, right?
Yeah.
Old guys like us.
Oh, it tears me up.
That's going to be an interesting game. Sometimes these games, you got Harlan Barnett, a longtime Spartan, as the head coach or the interim head coach, and you got Mark D'Antonio, who people were happy to see go. All of a sudden, they're lapping him up. Oh, we got our coach back. Blah blah blah. On the sidelines, mind you, with a headset, I thought he'd be up in the booth. So you got that going on. Sometimes these situations, you can galvanize the team. Now, Michigan State secondary is not very good. They don't have as much talent as Washington. Washington, Michael Penix is probably going to tear them up through the air. But sometimes I've seen weirder things. So this could mean Washington's a 15.5-point favorite. Michigan State could hang in this game. And what would that be if Michigan State beats Washington, a top eight team in the country? That would be an interesting news bite.
No question about it. Getting back to the Mel Tucker incident, as far as Michigan State is concerned, a lot of people are saying this is the same old Michigan State that we know from the past. Nothing has changed. We have an interim president. They're still looking for a permanent president there. Is it just business as usual up there at East Lansing?
Well, it's controversy as usual. And, and Michigan's, hey, listen, it's like when you get into, you do the what about Michigan? You hear all that all the time. Michigan's had some issues. So, everybody is vulnerable, right?
Absolutely.
And especially when you have some instability at the leadership. They have an interim president. But the thing of it is, when you have an investigation that gets closed up, if you will, in July, and you're still having, it hasn't really been determined. Does Michigan State know what, did they really know what was in that suit or, that contention of sexual harassment from that young lady? Or she's a little bit older, but what I'm saying is, and all of a sudden a USA Today article comes out and, we had to move forward. All of a sudden, they're suspending him. Well, did you know it before? And if so, why didn't you suspend him at the end of July? Why did you have this potentially misbehaving coach, lead your young men out on the football field for two straight Saturdays? So you wonder about that. But then I think what Michigan State's trying to do, this is my, and I have no legal background at all, is I think they're trying to be very sure they don't make any false move that will inhibit Michigan State from tearing up that contract, if you will, where they're not, obligated to pay off Mel Tucker $77 million remaining on his contract.
Tom, you're up there. What do you hear? I mean, are you hearing things like this is actually going to motivate the Spartans against the Huskies on Saturday, or it's going to be detrimental, or maybe no effect?
Well, today, typically Mel Tucker has his press conference on Mondays, like Harbaugh does, but Harlan Barnett because the Big Ten will have they have press conferences on Mondays and Tuesdays, and they view them, you see them on the Big Ten Network. But today they moved it to Tuesday for Harlan Barnett. And Mark D'Antonio's in the house. He's not going to be involved in the press conference because the head coach, interim head coach, is Harlan Barnett. So I think at that presser today, which around noon or 1 o'clock today when they view it on BTN, you will see again this team is, and there'll probably be some player access as well. I mean, players want to go out and play football, right? And I think when, you know, that stadium will be filled, Michigan State has a good environment. They're 2-0. Mind you, they haven't really played anybody. But you're going to know a little bit more today about where the pulse on the team is, and then you're going to learn a lot of where this thing is headed when you get, by 8:30 on Saturday night.
Absolutely. We're out of time here on Inside the Cave Time. We could talk about this all day, I'm sure. But we want to remind folks that you and John Borton have a special program every week.
Yeah, we're going to be on at 5:30 today, and we'll be on the On3 Network. And you can also view a lot of my content. I got a couple more podcasts coming on Crawford Podcasting Network. Go out to Tom's Take Community on YouTube if you're a Facebook user. Tom's Take Community Facebook page. I got a ton of content, sports and leadership, and appreciate you coming out and just sharing our views about things in sports and life, right?
That's right. And you're going to be a little late getting to the press box at Michigan Stadium. tell us where you're going to be going, Tom.
I'm doing the stadium iconic double dip. I'm starting out at Notre Dame. My son's on the coaching staff at Central Michigan, and they have a daunting task of taking on the Fighting Irish. That's at 2:30 in South Bend. Probably leave sometime in the fourth quarter, arrive sometime in the second quarter at the other iconic stadium, another iconic stadium, the Big House, for Michigan Bowling Green. I know it's a daunting task, but you only live once, right?
That's right. Well, you drive carefully, okay?
I will do that, guys, and we'll talk about all that stuff and more next week.
All right. Tom Crawford with us this morning. Inside the Cave, don't go away. We'll be right back with more. John Kane, Pat Hayes with you this morning.